you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, my name is Danny Roth, and this is Everyday Horror. It's a podcast where we watch at least one horror movie for every day in the month of October, and then we talk about it. Today, I am joined by the features editor and the co-host of the Fandom Files, Jordan Zacharin. Hi, Jordan.
Sorry, I'm eating a lifesaver.
Wow. I knew I could rely upon your... Is it a red lights lifesaver?
No, it's like one of Wild Berry.
I
always hope it's grape, but I don't think they make grape lifesavers.
Oh.
I really like grape.
I'm glad that we could have this really important... This is a really horrific conversation, so it actually feels on theme.
I also like that, to me, and I'm sure this is why you did it, but everyday horror just... There seems like there's multiple meanings working there.
Yeah,
Anyways.
Anyway, hey, what movie did you pick?
I watched The Blob.
The Blob?
The original.
The original Blob, yeah. The 1958 Blob.
Yeah, I watched it last night. I'd never seen it before.
Did you watch the remake, the 1988 version?
I watched the first 25 minutes today while at the office. I wanted to watch it last night, but I was just too busy writing a story.
I'm curious as to why you chose The Blob. That is, like, what psychological things can we infer from your choice?
Let's see. Well, I've never seen it. That's first. So that's the first
cool.
thing.
Cool. Good reason.
And then, you know, I like camp. I like 50s horror movies because it seemed like so many things were possible then. In the world had just seen so many horrible things. But so, like, there was an element of realism there. People knew how difficult the world could be. But there was also science they just really didn't understand yet. You know, like the space program really got going in the 60s. So until then, sure, an asteroid with a blobby thing on it. Why not? Why can't that happen? So I like the idea of just like people panicking in small towns, running through the streets, and I also like old sci-fi. So
I think it's kind of interesting. You picked The Blob.
Yeah.
It's a thing from space that comes down and wreaks a kind of havoc on a small town. And in a way, it kind of feels like the opposite coin to the thing I know you're actually a fan of, which is like Gaikaiju, like.
Right.
Godzilla and stuff like that. And Godzilla also is a 1950s creation, mm-hmm. but instead it's more about like the impact on a large area, I guess, in this case. And it's a completely different culture. But I mean, like, it's still like, I kind of wonder what similarities we can sort of draw between these two.
You know, I haven't done a lot of reading on The Blob, but it's probably about communism to some degree, a big red thing coming from space.
It is red.
Yeah. And just like taking over people one at a time until it grows and becomes a menace. And like so many of those 50s movies were just like bad allegories for communism. And Godzilla is about the nuclear bomb, obviously. So the things I like are imminent real world threats and mass destruction of people running through streets.
And that's our show, everybody. No. So like the plot of The Blob is like what? If we were going to try and give people the pitch, like the narrative, right. Not the meta narrative, not the subtextual narrative.
So Steve McQueen's on a date. Young Steve, as Stephen McQueen.
Yes, it's a final film where Steve McQueen is referred to as Stephen McQueen. He is supposed to be a teenager. He is like 25 or 26.
Like he looks older
He looks a million.
He looks older in this movie than he does in most of his other movies. Like, he looks like pasty and ill in this movie.
He does.
Especially the first half of it. After that, he gets, I don't know, maybe he decided to put on makeup or something.
Yeah, I do. I think that maybe like they were trying to give him like youth makeup and it went horribly awry.
That was bizarre. I was like, I know Steve McQueen's in this. Is that Steve McQueen? Oh, God. Did The Blob get him already? Anyways, The Blob is about this guy, Steve McQueen, trying to make time with this girl in a car. And at the same time, an asteroid or a comet or whatever they call him comes down and creates this little egg thing drops on Earth.
Yeah, it's like a meteor.
Yeah.
It's basically a meteor.
Meteor, sure. And then
An old man
touches it with a stick and then it eats him. And then really nothing with The Blob happens for like 40 minutes. It is, you know, monster movies often give you a little taste at the beginning and then make you wait a really long time and give you a big third act. This gives you like a really tiny taste at the beginning. Then nothing happens except for like teenage angst and people who I thought were bullies actually being friends with Steve McQueen. And, you know, this one cop being like, stop being bad, kids. He's probably like,
He's like, there's like a good cop and a bad cop. Which is like, what a wild concept. Good cop, bad cop. I mean, like, now I feel like I'm going to use it all the time.
Yeah. I'm upset that movies haven't used that.
Yeah, it's such a cool concept. Really, more people should look to the Blob for this highly original idea.
So yeah, there's this like Blob that slowly forms, and they bring this old guy to the doctor's office, and they're like, oh, what's wrong with him? Why is he being eaten? And the doctor dies. And basically, over time, the Blob starts taking over this town. And it's a very short period of time in which the Blob blobs. Is that a verb? Blobs sure. All over the place.
Sure. It was supposed to be the Glob. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be called the Glob, but somebody else had already called dibs.
Wow, that was a great move on their part, the Glob.
Yeah, they called dibs on Glob, and so they switched it to Blob.
Well, copywriting was an easier time back then. But so there's a very short period of time.
Like, looks like Paris Hilton was like, that's hot. It's because it's like same thing as Glob. She's like, that's Glob.
And she said that?
Yeah, totally. That's a real thing.
Paris Hilton said that's Glob.
Yeah, not something I just made up.
No.
Anyway, continue.
So the Blob goes through a screen at the movie theaters, kills some people, goes to a diner, kills some people. Then, I mean, spoiler alert, the movie's like 60 years old, so I don't think that's necessary. But
yeah, I think you're probably safe.
They kill it with, like, what is it, a fire extinguisher?
Yeah, because it doesn't like the cold.
Right.
That's its thing.
They try to electrocute it, and that doesn't work.
Gotta freeze it out.
And Steve McQueen's like, I'm about to be killed, so let's see if this fire extinguisher will work for some reason. And it did. And then they drop it in the very last frame in Antarctica.
Yeah, that is the end. They drop it in the Antarctic.
And they have a question mark as if there's going to be a sequel.
Yeah, it made me think of Truth or Dare, another movie that we covered on this podcast that also has a question mark on its logo.
That would be a post-credits sequence now.
It totally would be. The question mark?
Yeah, we'd have to explain it the day it comes out. Right, explainer. What does it mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, they did a sequel in the 70s, right? Kind of like a Grindhouse unofficial sequel.
They did do that, and then they did the remake in the 80s. So there's a lot that's sort of interesting or weird or certainly of a time. So one of the things that I really like is that because, you know, it's Steve McQueen. So I guess let's have a drag race.
He's also such a dork in this movie.
He is, but there's legit a drag race.
Yeah.
Backwards.
At the beginning.
Like, first they do an unintentional drag race, like, because you have to remember it's the 1950s, so people were just drag racing all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, what people get up to.
Mm-hmm. A lot of empty highways just freshly built.
Yeah.
People are not used to driving, and so teens, from what I understand, would just drag race.
Yeah. Now, only a select few, selected by RuPaul, is my understanding, can still do the drag
race. Yeah, and they do that also on back roads.
Wow.
That wasn't supposed to mean anything.
I don't know. It sounded like it meant something. And
but anything could mean anything.
This is not that kind of podcast.
Anything could mean anything.
Okay. That's in 2018. Yep. You know that's right. Man, I wonder why I called this everyday horror. Anyway.
Boofing.
So there's...
What does boofing mean?
Come on, man. Drinking game. Anyway, the Blob is also a drinking game.
I think boofing was supposed to be
flatulence. Wait a minute. Okay. Hold on a second. What... If we were going to do a Blob-themed drinking game so that we would not be able to become Supreme Court justices, what's the Blob drinking game?
I mean, it can't really involve the Blob itself because otherwise there wouldn't,
you wouldn't be a lot of drinking.
Yeah. What about the little kid in it who is the – I forget the girl's name.
He's just he's trying to protect people.
He shoots like a cap gun at the Blob. And it's like, you're in the way, kid. This kid served no purpose. And he's much younger than his sister.
The kid's doing his best.
Yeah, but why? You could put me in the war and I'd be doing my best, but I'd just be a nuisance.
Yeah, but this is not it's his town. It's not a war zone.
The kid was annoying.
Wow. So you would drink because of the kid. Just straight through.
Which I think is how most of the world works.
Oh, okay. Wow. Right, we're like not even 10 minutes into this podcast and you are really.
I guess the drinking game would be every time the kid has one of those horrible fake lisps.
You have a couple things. All right, so that's one thing. Every time the Blob shows up, that's another thing.
Every time the...
every time there's a drag race.
Every time the cop says, like, you kids!
Oh, yeah, you kids.
I like that at one point the good cop is like, I believe him. For no real reason.
Yeah, he's just like I don't know, call me crazy.
Like, you know what, I just kind of believe that there's an alien that's come down and is glomming onto everything and becoming a giant, gelatinous mass.
Yeah, I mean, like, basically, the bad cop is convinced that the kids are responsible.
Right.
Like, they're the ones behind everything, and this good cop is saying no collusion.
You know, that is a political reference, right?
What? No.
Do you think that people, like the bad cop, were really bitter because they had to go to war and the kids didn't?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of it. I wasn't expecting this to be so socially relevant, but I guess it is in a way.
Yeah. I mean, like, I understand they're being like, these kids running around, he's trying to keep law and order, and now they're just squandering the freedom he won for them by pretending that the big jellyman monster.
Well, I mean, that's also the reason one assumes why the doctor has guns.
Yes.
In his office, like, he's got his guns there. Like, he probably also was a person that was in a war.
It's so weird that back in the... I mean, I assume that this movie is complete verisimilitude to the way the society worked in the 50s.
Yeah, I'm sure it's exactly right. I'm sure it's completely realistic.
But, like, now we have people with assault rifles, but also if you saw a gun in a doctor's office, you'd be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, in 2018, it would be very strange if there was a gun. Also, interestingly, so, you know, he tells the nurse to throw, like, this acid.
Yes.
It's like a fun fact. The acid that he refers to is not a very powerful acid. It's like an acid that they put on you if you've got genital warts.
Oh, I mean, that's a good idea then. Like, maybe it's a giant genital wart.
Wow. Or a giant genital. Huh. A lot of possibilities.
You do freeze off warts.
That's true. Oh, man.
So
making discoveries.
So if you freeze off warts, maybe they thought the blob was a giant wart.
Okay.
You know what I did like about this movie? I liked that it just exists with no explanation beyond it coming on a comet. Like, if they made... I was thinking about how... And they did remake it, which is now 30 years ago. But I was thinking about
how they should make one right now, actually.
Well, what would happen now is there would be, like, a whole, like, pre-credits sequence, you know, like, before the opening titles credits, where it would just explain. There'd be, like... There would be people on a spaceship, and they would be destroyed by the blob, and we would find out where they were in the galaxy, and where the blob came from, and where they think it's made up of, and it would be a whole scientific explanation. Like, I guess kind of like it would be like Aliens or something. They're up there, and so at least we know a lot about the alien.
Well, I mean, like, that's a natural progression, though. I mean, 1950s.
But I don't want to know.
But, like, even the 1980s version, there's more. There's more happening. There's more in the sauce. Like,
more explanation.
I would say in the sense that not so much as like they explain the blob per se, but there's a nefarious government element.
Sure.
Like, that's a pretty substantial change from the original narrative, because the original narrative really is just like, this thing has showed up. It's red. It's threatening. It kind of represents communism, but they never say it. And then drag racing for a little while, and then it gets real big, and everybody's trapped inside of a building, and then they use they ice it out, and then they leave it on in Antarctica.
I'm not against I think it's this job makes me so cognizant of all the tiny little details that people debate constantly in movies. So I'm so refreshed when there's no backstory, because comic book geeks are so obsessed with little details of backstory, or Star Wars geeks are so obsessed with it. So it's refreshing when you don't know any of it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like that. And I actually, you know, honestly, the thing I like about the 80s version is that, other than adding like this one element that doesn't explain the blob, it just gives an alternate element, an alternate reaction, right? Instead of just having everybody be afraid of it, now you also have the government that's like, we could use this.
Sure.
Which makes a lot of sense.
It's kind of like the new Predator movie, which I may be the only person that saw.
Oh, I saw that one.
It's kind of like that, right? Like, the government's trying to use the Predator.
Yeah, for sure. It is a very similar thing.
I mean, it is like a space symbiote.
I mean, the evil government thing kind of became a standard. I don't know which decade that really falls to. I don't know if it's 70s or 80s.
What a bummer, because like...
Because pre 1960s, certainly, I don't really think there was a lot of like, the government wants to be bad. Look at this bad that the government's doing.
What a bummer, because the government should be good, but right now it is bad.
That's what... So like, all right. I want to talk a little bit more about the two versions that exist. And then I actually do kind of want to talk about, like, if, like, it literally, because if you look, it's 58, 88, they should have made one in 2018. And I am actually, to TBQH, that's the answer, to be quite honest. I'm kind of shocked that they didn't make one, because they really should. It feels like the right time.
I wonder if, God, but I wonder if people would take it seriously at this point.
I don't know. I mean, well, I think that's
does it ignore the sequel, the original sequel? Is it a reboot? Is it a remake? Is it a
I don't think
sequel?
That matters.
No, I'm joking.
Cares about that.
I don't care.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that you could just make it fresh, like they do every day at the Dunkin' Donuts. Or, excuse me, the Dunkin'.
Right. Thank you.
Very important to correct
very
that. Brought
brands.
To you by. Yeah, so.
Time to make the Dunkin'.
Oh, man. That really, that's such a bummer. Now it makes, do you remember John Lovitz used to do an impression of the Dunkin' Donuts guy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was him.
Oh, no, it wasn't. But he did do a thing where he would be like, after 25 years of time to make the donuts, now it's time to die. Was one of my favorite SNL sketches, actually. Too bad about John Lovitz. Anyway, so.
Real shit.
I've been sick with the cold for like a week and a half.
I was in an elevator with Kate McKinnon and us, what you call it, Cecily Strong yesterday.
Oh yeah, how was that?
They were lovely. They stared at the wall until hoping no one recognized them, and they left.
Oh cool. Oh man, I can't
McKinnon
imagine what would happen.
Kate McKinnon had a backpack on.
Kate McKinnon had a backpack on.
Yeah.
Do you think a blob was in there?
Maybe. I like to think she has like 45 different like hair prosthetics for all the men she plays.
Oh.
You know, all the government men.
I was trying to bring him back to the blob.
I know. I don't really care though.
Okay, but you have to pretend for like at least another 15 more minutes.
Isn't it funny that we have to just like act super cool around these people? Otherwise, like, I was talking to Matt Romano and I was like conscious of them
why
being
would
there.
You, but why would you, who cares?
Not cool, but I have to keep cool.
Oh, I don't really, like, here's the thing. My perspective is I guess you do have to, like, this has nothing to do with the blob, but just to address this very important issue, I'm shocked when people can't be cool.
Sure.
I don't understand that. Like, I threw a Halloween party many years ago, and the actress who played Matilda, Mara Wilson, was there. And because we used to live a couple blocks away from each other, and I was like, yeah, come over. Like, and she was dressed as Carl Sagan. It was very cool. She's a normal person.
Dressed as Carl Sagan is always cool.
And yeah, absolutely. And yeah, a friend of mine came by and was like, oh, that girl looks like Matilda. And I was like, that is the act that she is the girl who played Matilda. And then she began to heave, like her breath became quite erratic. And I don't understand that.
It's kind of crazy to know that when you're like famous, even if no one acts different around you because they're consciously not doing so, the moment you walk into the room, like sphincters tighten.
I guess. I don't know. Here, I mean, like, I only in the sense that, man, you've really done it. You've really done it. My sphincter would only tighten if the blob walked into the room.
Oh, well, he would destroy you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, really. So anyway, in the remake, I think that the blob, like, one of the things that really sets it apart and makes it one of the movies that is considered to be better than its original counterpart. So it's like this and I would say, what, like Body Snatchers and The Thing. Probably not Invaders from Mars, though.
Well, the second thing, not the third thing.
Yeah.
Right.
The remake, the one that, and The Fly also, I would say The Fly is
possibly
better than
A Star is Born, we'll see.
Wow. Well done. Thanks for being
that
so.
That song has been stuck in my head for friggin' weeks.
Wow.
I haven't seen the movie, just the trailer. Anyways.
What would happen if the blob, do you think that Lady Gaga could defeat the blob? Like with her singing voice? Maybe that's the 2018 version.
You know, I just don't have an answer for you. But I will say this, the blob seemed pretty slow.
Well, no, but the thing about the blob is that it's unpredictable because, like, it'll seem slow and then very suddenly, like, that's how you see, like, the old man at the beginning has got it's on the stick. It's in a long stick and he's like, oh, it's slowly making its way down. So I'll turn it down. I'll turn it so it's facing downward and then it very quickly engulfs his arm.
These
like,
movies
real fast.
Just doom homeless people.
Yeah, both the original and the remake.
Quick work of them.
Are like, man. But that's, you know, once again, very very socially relevant. We don't really care about the homeless.
I like that the 88 version has very horny teens.
Yeah, well, I mean, they also have people that look like teens at all.
They also
so
have
that's
like,
helpful.
I feel like that was like Brett Kavanaugh and like his, you know, they were like
what
buying condoms.
Happening?
Like, you know, they were like the rich kids buying condoms, you know, and like trying to like make time with a girl in the car. They're much, the big difference between the first and second blob is that the teens are much hornier.
Okay. I was going to say that it's that the blob is a lot more menacing.
Sure.
It's well, it's better designed. They have like the deaths are way more gruesome. There's some really like they definitely you can see that it's influenced or that the same people were kind of working on this and the thing because you know like the homeless guy
right.
he just doesn't like die like his whole body kind of globulates and then yeah like all of a sudden like yeah like the whole bottom half is gone there's all like viscera and all this kind of stuff it's great
the
it
first,
looks like I'll say this it, every time they have a scene like that I'm like ooh. Which
the first teen
I did not
dies,
get off the first one.
Because I just got up to the point when the first teen dies.
Oh, yeah. Really surprising.
It's really cool.
Because you like, think he's going to be like a protagonist.
Right.
But he's not.
It's like a giant, like, it looks like a giant, like, intestine. Like a giant intestine inflated and swallowed him whole. And it's translucent. It's pretty dope. So that was a highlight so far, seeing that horny teen die.
For me, the thing that that sort of puts it up against the original in a way that I think makes it superior is that up until that point, you really get the vibe that that's the dude.
Right.
This movie is about this guy. He's going to be our, you know, we spend all this time from his perspective. He's taking the girl out on a date. You know, he is the Steve McQueen character, and they dispatch him pretty, like, not quickly, because, you know, you get enough stuff about him that makes you right. assume. But, yeah, instead it's like the punk kid. He's
right.
going to be the...
He's got a great mullet. By the way,
he does, and his last name is Flag with two G's.
That's pretty good. He's got a great mullet.
That's a real comic book name.
I also like that they, I mean, it's a 15, the movie is 15 minutes longer than the original, so they have a little more time to play with. But like they start the little love relationship between the police officer and the waitress at the diner. That's a nice little thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, and that, the thing is that, like, all you keep encountering people that you're like, certainly this person will make it to the end, but no, like that lady from the diner gets killed, the cop gets killed, like, and all in pretty, again, like super grisly. So that teen who you think the protagonist is going to be, in his death sequence, it wasn't actually like they didn't tell the actress that was playing opposite of him that he was actually going to be in it. They thought it was going to be a dummy or like another actor or something, like a stunt person. So her reaction is kind of genuine because she doesn't expect to see him. And she actually feels really like she has a moment of genuine panic at seeing him in this state because it's very creepy looking.
That's such a great trick to pull on someone.
It's like, it's horrible, fake, but it really worked.
Death.
Yeah, they fake murdered that guy and she believed that blob was real, I guess, in that moment. Anyway, I think it's a good story.
Was
I don't
it
know.
Stan Winston that did all the blob effects, the second one?
I think. I'd have to double check it. I apologize that I don't have that.
Imagine, I just love that. Like that's what he's known for, just making horrible, disgusting things for like 30 years.
There's a thing that I could be known for. I would really like that. That would make me happy.
For me, it's blogging.
Oh, yeah. You want to be known for blogging? Well, I've got good news for you.
I'm not known, but I blog.
You're halfway there. halfway
and I'm also
halfway
a
your dream.
You guys listen to the Phantom Files?
Oh, yeah. You know, can I be on an episode? I'm a really big fan of the Blob. Actually, you know, we could just finish this podcast. You could just do this podcast with me and then we could like call the, you know, like I could do a Phantom Files about something completely different, right?
I don't know what you're asking.
I don't know.
Like you switched your request halfway through, so I don't know where it ended.
I mean, where does anything really end or begin, Jordan?
Not with a blob. It's circular.
That's kind of what I was suggesting.
Anyways, this week on the Phantom Files, we have an episode about Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay, but don't say that because this is going to air way after that. So it'll be like, what's your next week's episode about?
You know, actually, this is a real good one. Well, a little peek behind the curtain. Bobby Moynihan was going to come on, mm-hmm. and he can't make it.
He got eaten by the blob.
Yeah, he got eaten by the blob. So, but I did want to get this guy on, and so it all kind of works out. Did you see that story yesterday about how Russian trolls seem to have influenced The Last Jedi? There's that study.
Yeah.
Like the last
there
Jedi
is that.
Online.
And also, people are, yeah, there's like weird stuff about Venom too. Like there's like people like bots saying stuff
Lady
about
Gaga
it being...
fans were trying to drive down the social buzz around Venom so that A Star Is Born when it comes out has a better chance of like being popular, I guess.
More or less scary than the blob.
Yeah. Lady Gaga fans are the blob.
pretty scary. I mean, like, I think I might, I don't know. I would take fandom in general, I think it's probably.
Yeah.
Is scary. Because, you know, I don't know if the blob is real, but fandom is real and it's real dangerous sometimes.
Yep. And so this guy did this. He's like a PhD student. And so he looked at social sentiment and whatnot about The Last Jedi and found that it's likely that Russian trolls were involved in spreading the discord around The Last Jedi. You know, they came at it from every angle.
That's deep, man.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing. I wonder if someone would go so deep to say, like, hey, what's the best way to sow discord in an unbelievably overwhelmingly consumerist culture?
Right.
That each individual defines themselves by the things that they like. Well, by sowing seeds of discord in fandom.
You know,
if that's actually legit, that's true, that's actually kind of brilliant.
What I like to believe is that a lot of Russian trolls were just doing this on their lunch break when they were like supposed to be trolling, you know, about politics. They're like, what should we do, guys? You see the new Star Wars movie? Yeah, let's fuck with Americans. And they all just like did that on the lunch break.
Good work.
It could be.
I mean, if that's true, that's pretty slick.
That's such a crazy power to have.
It is a crazy power to have. Do you think that there's... So we discussed that the 1950s version of the blob, it was about communism. What do you think the 1980s blob is about? Because, I mean, the 1950s and 1980s are... Like, the 1980s is the sequel to the 1950s in a way, so...
1980s, what I've seen...
Government's evil, so, like, maybe that's a commentary on...
Yeah, big government, probably.
On Reagan.
It's just strange because, like, police are government officials.
Yeah, that's true. But it's the thing, like, I can't... Like, it's weird, like, yeah, the government is overextending itself in that film, but, like, wasn't Reagan's whole deal, like, oh, like, the government won't overextend at all?
Yeah, it was... the idea was that, like, we'll drown in a bathtub. Like, the only good kind of government is, like, less government. Or smaller government. I don't know. He was insane, so I don't want to quote him.
Wow. But, cool. Good work.
I mean, if you look at the beginning of that movie, it's like all American kids, right? They're playing football. There's cheerleaders. Like, that is the conservative utopia. And so whatever the blob represents, it's something that conservatives hated. Unless it was like, you know, unless the filmmakers were like taking joy in destroying those
maybe
white bread Americans.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I would be like. Yeah, get them.
Yeah.
Rooting for the blob.
Well, that's what's nice about a movie like that is, like, you don't care if people die.
So, if we were going to make a movie in 2018, that's the blob. Do you think that people would root for the blob?
Depends on who they were killing. I'm at the point where there's so many big blockbuster movies.
I think that, honestly, if you just killed a lot of every kind of person, I think that for the most part, a lot of people would be like, yeah, this is great.
Well, it's like, was Thanos, maybe he had the right idea.
Oh, my God, Thanos is the blob.
Right.
He's the 2018 blob. We cracked it.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
I think that I would root for the blob just because, I don't know, I've become like a nihilist now, especially with these big blockbuster movies, because now we always know the hero is going to win and live on in like 14 new sequels. So to root against the hero feels like, A, useless because they're going to live, but it's fun to try and, you know, put an end to it.
Yeah.
I would root for the blob.
Okay.
Especially if it killed people in really gnarly ways.
Do you think I was trying to think. I mean, the blob also is kind of gets represented in like, in really, like, light, pastiche kind of ways. Like, I think Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, like, when you see that, like, globular stuff sort of taking over the planet that represents ego, I mean, like, to me, I was like, oh, that's like a blob shout-out.
Yeah.
Kind of got a blob equality. Ghostbusters 2, when the museum's covered in that giant, like, slime, that makes me think of, like, when it covers the building in the original. Like, that's very... Again,
I mean, the blob can just be like blight and malaise of any kind.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's got legs. That's what I'm saying. Like, the 1950s one, very simple. It's got like one thing. Wow. And then the 80s one is a little more, and it's not just like the blob doesn't necessarily have to mean anything other than terror. But you know, the way that people would use it in a nefarious purpose, that's the thing that's relevant.
The 2018 blob would be set in cities with diverse neighborhoods, and the blob would be white people moving in and taking over. So it'd be reverse.
I'm glad that you took my question seriously.
I'm serious.
You think that's it? You think that's like, so the new blob is a gentrification movie?
Yes.
So like the blob would eventually become people.
Maybe it's not gentrification in the sense of like actual people, but I think it'd be like pushing out minorities, people of color, and, you know, economically diverse people from cities.
I just like the idea that like the blob comes in and like it devours a whole building, but you think it's devouring it, but instead it's actually just like turning it into something terrible.
Now it has like a roof deck,
like a Baby Gap, you know. Yeah. Like
it has a roof deck now, and you know, big floor to ceiling windows.
Yeah, yeah, really open concept.
Yeah, so I think that's what to me the blob, or it could, the blob could just be like conservatism. I mean, that's like pretty blatant, but it feels like that's what's slowly taking us over.
All right. So let's say that people watch the Blob 1950s version and also 1980s version. What other movie would you be like, oh, you like those? You should watch this also.
Oh, God. I mean, if you're going to want to watch an 80s sci-fi movie, 50s sci-fi movie, just watch like The Day the Earth Stood Still or like Them with the Big Ants or something.
Oh,
those
okay.
really deliver.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say any William Castle movie will probably do you if you're looking for something that's sure. that's that kind of edges into 1960s stuff too, but like it's very classic B movie. And then, yeah, I mean, like, listen, I would say you should watch the original Invaders from Mars and the weird, most people consider terrible, but I kind of like anyway, 80s Toby Hooper version. Invaders from Mars. Oh, it's not like I wouldn't call it a good movie, but it's a gas. I really like it's very 80s. It's very like everything is very like plastic looking and fake, but like kind of glorious. Just really weird, like way out there. Like Toby Hooper really decided he wanted to take a 50s thing and just blow it up big and bizarre. And I wouldn't call it a great movie, but I find it thoroughly entertaining. It is considered to be one of the worst remakes of all time, but I unabashedly think it's worth a watch.
I would say that also with the vis-a-vis the Blob, one of the problems with the 50s one, I'm not a big fan of Technicolor stuff. That's why I don't watch a lot of movies from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would rather just it be black and white.
Yeah, I get you.
I know I'm missing out on a lot of stuff by like not loving Technicolor, because I mean, stories are great or the acting is great or whatever it is, but something about it just seems so off. Maybe it just reminds me of my grandparents or something. I don't know.
Wow.
It's got deep.
What's wrong with your grandparents?
Well, just like...
Well, that's our show, everybody. thanks, Jordan, for joining me. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at sci-fi.com. I write every article there.
Every just single kidding. One?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just kidding. Especially fangirls. I wrote all those articles.
Cool.
I am at Jordan Zacharin on Twitter. And you can find my podcast, Fandom Files. At just like go to the related podcast when you look at Everyday Horror. It's the same thing.
That's true.
Sci-fi wire.
Yeah. We're just one big happy family.
Yeah.
If there's one thing you took away from this podcast, it's what a happy family we are.
And that I'm happy with my family.
Yeah. My name is Danny Roth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N. Ordinary, also with one N. Thank you for listening to this podcast. And remember, sometimes the best cure for the horrors of every day is a little everyday horror. We'll see you next time.